Blue Grape Record 84th case. Immaculate Gate of Non-Duality. Case Immaculate asked Manjushri, what is a Bodhisattva's entry into the Dharma Gate of Non-Duality? Manjushri said, according to what I think, in all things, no words, no speech, no demonstration, and no recognition, to leave behind all questions and answers. This is entering the Dharma Gate of non-duality. Then Manjushri asked Vimalakirti, we have each already spoken. Now you should tell us, good man, what is a entry into the Dharma Gate of non-duality? Sudo said, what did Vimalakirti say? He also said, completely exposed. This is a story. Vimalakirti asked Manjushri, what is a Bodhisattva's entry into the Dharma Gate of non-duality? Manjushri said, according to what I think, in all things, no words, no speech, no demonstration, no recognition, to leave behind all questions and answers. This is entering the Dharma Gate of non-duality. Manjushri asked Vimalakirti, we have each already spoken. Now you should tell us, good man, what is the Bodhisattva's entry into the Dharma Gate of non-duality? Sudo said, what did Vimalakirti say? He also said, completely exposed. This case comes from the Vimalakirti Sutra, chapter 9. The title is Dharma Door of Non-Duality. I think Vimalakirti Sutra is one of the famous Mahayana scripture. Talking about the Buddha Dharma, discussing with a lay Buddhist named Vimalakirti in India. story is that Vimalakirti was one of the enthusiastic Buddhists who always practiced and listened to Buddha's teaching. One day, Shakyamuni Buddha found no present of Vimalakirti in the Buddhist teaching lecture. So Buddha said, what was happens with Vimalakirti? And then one of the Buddhist disciples said he was sick. Then Vimalakirti thought at that time he was a little bit disappointed because no one inquired after him. So he thought how miserable he was. Then the Buddha immediately understood what Vimalakirti was thinking. then Buddha Shakyamuni tried to send his disciples to inquire after him. But no one wanted to go to inquire after him, because he was one of the greatest Buddhist laymen who won always the Dharma combat between Vimala Kyuri and Buddha's disciples. So all disciples were always beaten by him. So no one wanted to go to inquire after him. So Buddha Shakyamuni asked his disciples one after another, but no one. So finally Manjushri was asked by Shakyamuni Buddha. Then Manjushri decided to go to inquire after him. That is a story, okay? And then Manjushri anyway asked many questions, and the interesting stories here, okay, about bodhisattvas, about Buddha land, how bodhisattva get into Buddha's world, how bodhisattva see human world, such and such, many the discussion there. So finally, after many questions answered, there is an important subject that came up, that is non-duality. So in the chapter of chapter 9, the Dharma door of non-duality, there are 32 bodhisattvas who answered the question of non-duality, because Vimala Kyuri asked them what is non-duality. So 32 bodhisattvas anyway explained about non-duality, chapter 9. For instance, the bodhisattva Dhamma Vikravana declare Dhamma Vikravana means freely the one can manifest or represent oneself under all circumstances. That is Dhamma Vikravana. Okay. Meaning, that is meaning. But this is a name of bodhisattva. Or in English, maybe simply speaking, Dharma freedom. Okay? Dharma freedom. Dharma freedom bodhisattva. So the bodhisattva Dhamma Vikravana declare noble sir, production and destruction are two. But what is not produced and doesn't occur cannot be destroyed. Thus, the attainment of the tolerance of the birthlessness of things is the entrance into non-duality. noble sir, production and destruction means life and death. Life and death. Or production and origination and extinction, whatever you say, okay? Production and destruction are two. So all bodhisattva first to present dualistic world, life and death, good and bad. Purity, impurity. First, all bodhisattva present dualistic world, and then they simply speak about this duality, how those dualistic world exist. So that's why at the Dhamma Vikvana Bodhisattva present one of the dualistic world, called production and destruction, or life and death. But what is a life and death? What is a production and destruction? So he said, what is not produced and doesn't occur cannot be destroyed. Because Dhamma, in other words, if you see this dualistic world, first of all, you have to have a very sharp and deep, quiet eye to see through the form of tree, form of human beings, form of floors, form of the river or mountain, etc., and reach the depths of existence, which is called Dhamma or truth. There is nothing to put the name on it. Life or death, or going or coming. Nothing to say, nothing to be conceptualized. Okay. No space for our head to poke. So complete nothing. So that is a stage of depths of existence. So you have to reach to this state of existence through the form of trees, form of dualistic world. And then I think one more important thing is you have to see the form of dualistic from the non-duality, okay? The depths of existence once more again. We can usually go back to the depths of existence where there is nothing to be conceptualized or to conceptualize. That's usually we can do. But the next important point is you have to come out of from that, the depths of existence. That is not so easy for us. In other words, all phenomenal forms becomes zero when you come back to the source. Next, from that source, you have to see the form of dualistic world as a beautiful flower. Decorate it, that non-dualistic world. That is really difficult for us. It require you a lot of practice again and again without showing off anything at all. Quietly, you have to do it. Concentrate. This is an important point. So, they here says, here only in this chapter, all bodhisattva talking about the depth of existence where there is nothing to conceptualize, okay? They don't explain beautiful flower blooming on the land of non-duality, okay? They don't say so. But this is hidden behind bodhisattva's explanations about non-duality, or remember, okay? So, what is a production and distraction? So, what is not produced and doesn't occur, it means origin of the life and death or production. In other words, excuse me, origin, if you go back to the origin of life or production, you can see that there is nothing to say production, okay? Or not production, because there is nothing to occur. If you say something occurred there, it is dualistic world. But a non-dualistic world, there is nothing to occur, nothing to go, nothing to come, nothing to touch, nothing to ignore. Okay? This is non-duality. But if you live there, enormous energy there. Okay? Energy means, I don't know, universal life. Enormous life. Enormous energy of universal life there. Not only your life, including trees' life and the whole universe. So, that's why if you practice here together, you can feel your life, but simultaneously, even though you recognize others, the energy of others' life, but you can feel it. Your life is really supported or encouraged by energy of others' life. Okay? That's why come together and practice together is very important for us. So originally there is nothing to occur, nothing to contaminate, nothing to be contaminated, nothing to be moving or stop, nothing to say. Okay? That's why he says, what is not produced and doesn't occur, so you cannot say production or not production. If you say production, there is something to produce. If you say non-production, it is also something to product, so-called non-productions. Okay? So actually, in the state of the truth or oneness, completing nothing. Okay? But there is enormous energy of universal life there, by which your life is supported. Okay? That's why we have to recognize that universal life, okay? Because it is you, not other stories, not an abstract story apart from you. If you don't recognize it, or if you don't touch it, well, no matter how long you explain it, you know, it is something abstract and conceptualized world. So, he says, what is not produced and doesn't occur cannot be destroyed. So nothing to destroy or nothing to protect. Thus, the attainment of tolerance of birthlessness of things, that is called no birth, we say. No birth, no death, we say. Okay. That's why when you go back to the depths of existence, there is no birth. And also, if there is no birth, naturally no death. And then, once more again, you have to come back to the a dualistic world, seeing form of life, form of death. Okay? As a beautiful flower blooming, decorating non-dualistic world. At that time, you can accept life, you can accept death very smoothly. Suffering, pain, or weakness and strength and whatever it is, you can accept it and digest. Digest them in your life. The question, still there is a question, because how much you can digest them. That is completely different from individual. Okay? Everyone can digest. But how much you can digest, it depends on the measure of your practice, measure of effort, measure of your karmic life. Past, present, future. So that's why naturally different state of practice and personality in a different world come up. Okay? Even though you practice same things together and for same period of time, still there are different stage, different person come up. Okay? You cannot ignore this. So, thus, attainment of tolerance of the birthless of things is the entrance into non-duality. Okay? So that is one of the case, one of the example here. So 32 bodhisattva experience about good or bad presented first, and then what is the source of good, what is the source of bad. What is the source of purity? What is the source of impurity? According to Dogen's term, I think, not thinking. In Zazen Fukan Zazen Gi, he says, think, not thinking. How do you think, not thinking? Non-thinking is completely non-duality, okay? Non-duality. So thinking goes back to non-thinking world, and not thinking also goes back to non-thinking. And then we have to see once more again thinking or not thinking from non-thinking, okay? As not something alternative, but something beautiful, flower blooming, okay? No choice. There is no choice. All sentient beings should accept thinking, not thinking, as a beautiful flower blooming in the world, decorating non-dualistic world, non-thinking. At that time, naturally, you can appreciate gratitude coming up. So you appreciate for your existence, for others. Okay? But if you don't realize it, if you don't feel in that way, how do you practice? After realization this, you can take care of in that way. You should take care of your life in that way. Well, it is possible. But actually, we don't know when you can realize it. So you cannot wait for the opportunity to realize that the dualistic world as a beautiful flower blooming, decorating the non-dualistic world. You can't wait for the opportunity to do this. Okay? So, question is, whoever you are, enlightened or not enlightened, what you have to do is take best care of everyday life as beautiful flower blooming, decorating Buddha's work. That is our practice every day. Okay? And then some days, sometimes, you really hate touch it. Okay? But usually, we always try to throw away our delusions and etc. and really hasten to reach or to experience that oneness, non-duality. And then we say, I am happy or sane. I don't think it is possible for you. No way. If you do expect in that way, I don't know when you can do it. It is not really a universal way of life. Universal way of life is something anyone can practice day to day from now. Ha! This is Mahayana Buddhism. All this mentions about this. Okay? And Dogen Zenji mentions all this like this. Alright? And then, finally, Manjushri became the 32nd Bodhisattva who had to, anyway, explain about non-duality. And then Manjushri replied in the end of this chapter, "Good sir, you have all spoken well. Nevertheless, all your explanations are themselves dualistic. To know no one teaching, to express nothing, to say nothing, to explain nothing, to announce nothing, to indicate nothing, and to designate nothing. That is the entrance into non-duality." Okay? So he uses no word, okay? Nor using the word, but he expressed about no words, the word of no word. So that's why he says, no words, no explanations. He here says, to know no one teaching, to express nothing, to say nothing, to explain nothing, to announce nothing, to indicate nothing, and to designate nothing. So there is nothing, there is no sign of something to designate or to show or to touch. This is your original state of life. No one can touch the oneness you have. So that is in terms of this original nature of human life. There is a sense of respect, human right. Okay? This is Buddhistic human right. Okay? From this, in terms of this human life, we can really deeply respect beyond different personality, different race, different races, different characteristics, different cultural background, anywhere, wherever you are, anywhere we can really respect each other. Then, the Crown Prince Manjushri said to the Ritchavivi Malakiri, "We have all given our own teachings. Noble sir, now may you elucidate the teaching of the entrance into the principle of non-duality." Now, Manjushri expect, not only Manjushri, 32 Bodhisattvas, anyway expected Vimalakirti what kind of explanation he would do. So Manjushri, as a representative, asked him to explain non-duality. Then he said, thereupon the rich Vimalakuri kept his silence, saying nothing at all. The crown prince Manjushri applauded the Vimalakirti, the Vimalakirti, excellent noble sir. Well, anyway, finally Vimalakirti kept silence. And then I don't know, the Vimalakirti doesn't explain the silence. Now Manjushri explained the silence after he kept the silence. That's why he said silence. Excellent about your silence. Okay? But silence itself is nothing to explain. But somebody be there with silence, then somebody the applaud or feeling and touching, then we say, excellent, you are silent. But as silence itself, nothing to say. And also silence is sometimes very many people misunderstanding this silence. Silence is not just silent. Silence is silent, but simultaneously there are many words, many explanations, many representations there. Okay? In other words, silence is something quiet, but it's deep and also very active, very active. Actions, very dynamic action there. Okay? By physically, mentally. So in Chinese, this silence says mokurai. Mok means silence, rai means thunder. Thunder. Okay. So silence is quiet, but it's really enormous voice there. Like a thunder. Means silence is very quiet, but simultaneously very dynamic, active. Dynamically very active. Okay? That is total personality. Okay? Well, total personality is not quiet, not silent, but not noisy. Whole personality, total personality means, for instance, if you see somebody and simultaneously you can accept their whole personality, okay? Total personality. At that time, whole personality of somebody is not something represented or represented or explain it. I don't know, how can I say? Whole personality is very silent but very active. Okay? Without saying anything, you can communicate, you can touch it, but simultaneously it affects you. Okay? So silence is all of you sitting here silently. But a whole situation, is not silent. Very active. So that way, any of you can be encouraged by other people sitting quietly. That is the whole situation, whole state of these circumstances. This is your whole personality. Okay? Because whole personality, individual whole personality is working there. Okay? So, first of all, that's why if you want to know something true, first, sit. Okay? If you want to know how wonderful, how beautiful masterpiece a painting is, you have to just go and see. That's first important. That is constant we have to practice from the beginning to end. Okay? And then after that you can explain it. Oh, this is silent, this is noisiness, and this is silent, this is actions and inactions, we can explain it. But before that, as a whole, you cannot explain it, nothing. But just be present peacefully and harmoniously together, subject and object. Then something come up. That's why in the first of all we have to go back to the depth of existence. Okay? Which is called non-duality. Means beyond discriminations. Don't ask. Don't try to know. Don't be greedy to know or to not know. But more or less, we do. We express greediness first. Try to know or try not to know. But first of all, what you have to do is be present peacefully, harmoniously. That is not so easy. Because automatically, our consciousness, our habit, or customs always act in that way. That's why we need a practice anyway. Okay? So, finally, the Marakuri, be quiet, kept silent, and that is his answer. Okay? So, silence is not merely silent. There is, behind the silence, there is enormous activity there. Coming from in each pore, and each single pore of the molecule's body. Okay? That is the Vimalakirti Sutra. Okay, and then that is a case. This is a case. The pointer says, though you say it is, there is nothing what it is, there is nothing which is can affirm. Though you say it is not, there is nothing that is not can negate. When is and is not are left behind, and gain and loss are forgotten, then you are clean and naked, free and at ease. Okay? That is non-dual, simply this pointer explain it. Though you say it is, but that something you say it is something coming through very quickly at a super speed through your consciousness. Okay? In other words, something represented in a word, okay? In a thought. That is called it is. Okay? But on the other hand, truth is not something it is. So negative. So it is not. But if you say it is not, already it is. Already something. So that's why it says it it is not. Though you say it is not, there is nothing that is not can negate. There is nothing to negate. So that's why the truth is, or oneness is, beyond negation or affirmation. In the Prajnaparamita, we say no birth, no death, no decretion, no increasing. Okay? Something like that. Because beyond the word, beyond the thought. In other words, being prior to your birth, being prior to your parents' birth, that is source of existence. We have to go back to this. But we don't understand it because we have never experienced it. Then some person who experienced this one explained this one, but no one understands it because you have never experienced it. But you have to listen to it because it is your life. So even though you don't understand, you try to contemplate it and practice it. This is our practice. So he says, when is and is not are left behind. If you say affirmation or negation, naturally you have a sense of loss and gain. Naturally. Because this is the process of thinking, our process of thinking. If you see, if you face an object, and the object is reflected in your organs, and consciousness joining with this reflection, then judge, think, and judge, evaluate. Okay? Then next, we think, like or dislike come up, afflictive preference, and then we are stumbled over by this afflictive preferences, then on and on we are rolling down from the top of a hill to the bottom constantly. So that's why if you want to know anyway, source of existence is this point that says when is and is not are left behind and gain and loss are forgotten. But gain and loss, pros and cons already there. Okay? And success and failure and pros and cons and good or bad all exist. So point is how do you take care of those things? Pros and cons, loss and gains, success and failures. So as best as we can, we have to deal with based on is and that is not left behind. In other words, as soon as possible, you should deal with it as simple as you can, and as soon as possible, you should leave. You should go ahead. Because you cannot ignore. That is that in practice. So you have to practice how quickly your mind switch. If you see your thoughts, how quickly your mind can switch. In other words, leave and go ahead. See it and live, go ahead. That is our practice. In Zazen, you can see very clearly. Even a minute, in Zazen, minutes is not minutes. It's long time. because you easily spend minutes, just a second, as a second, because all quiet. So finally you are going on and on. So if you see it in Zazen, if you see anything anywhere, let them, don't be meddled with them. Okay? That is our practice. How quickly, how swiftly you can switch your consciousness. But this is very important practice for us. Okay? But tell me what is in front of you and in back of you. So, if you switch, if you live right now and go ahead, at that time, what is it in front of you? What is it in the back of you? That is a question. The consciousness always we want to know what is there in front of me and in back of me. But we have to face, well, stably and deal with it and live as soon as possible and move as soon as possible ahead. Okay. And that time there is no space for you to try to know what is in front of you, what is in back of you. But simultaneously you can know. Simultaneous, even though you live quickly, still something in back of you with going with you. Something in front of you always follow you. But that is our karmic life. Okay? If you do some if you take care of today with your best, then very naturally your yesterday and tomorrow's come together with today. Okay? And then taking best care of today take you to next day. Something like that. So yesterday and today is completely separate. But yesterday and tomorrow are connected. How? Only when you deal with today as today, with wholeheartedness, and that time, yesterday and today comes together and make your life mature. Very naturally, you can go next. Maturity never make your life stop. Maturity, total maturity, always make you go ahead. So, that's why whatever experience you do, then Master says, good, please sit down. You have a daydream, oh, I'm sorry for you, but please sit down. Next day, you can experience something wonderful, wonderful. Please sit down. So constantly you have to go ahead. Okay? So, but tell me what is in front of you and in back of you. If there is a patch-robed monk who comes forward and says, in front is the Buddha shrine and the main gate. Behind is the abbot's sleeping room and private quarters. That is few minutes ago I mentioned as a process we have to go back to, we have to see through form of all sentient beings in the duality. Okay? That time you can go back to the depth of existence through the form of existence, trees, birds in the duality. Okay? Then that is what is called, it is, there is nothing. Though you say it is, there is nothing. What is, can affirm something like that. Okay? Constantly you have to go back to the source. And then next, you have to go up again and see the dualistic world in terms of source of existence. Okay? But usually always we see the dualistic world in terms of dualistic world. Okay? That understanding is very shallow. Okay? So we have to anywhere go back to anywhere depth of existence, everyone should do it. And then, once more again, we have to come back and see the dualistic world as a beautiful flower blooming, decorating the world of non-duality. Okay. At that time, there is a Buddha hall and Zendo there, Abbot sleeping quarter there. Okay. And then yesterday there, today there, tomorrow there. All exist separately but simultaneously connected. All are connected. And then all create wonderful world. That is creative world, so called Buddha land. Okay. So he says, that's why he says, in front is the Buddha shrine and the main gate. Behind it is the abbot's sleeping room and private quarter. Means dualistic world. Okay? But this dualistic world is not usual sense of dualistic world. This is dualistic world enhanced, deepened by, well, going back to the source of existence. So that's why basically we do Zazen day by day, and you do Zazen is go back to the source. Anyway, go back to the source again and again every day. Tell me, does this man have eyes or not? If you can judge this man, I'll allow that you have personally seen the ancients. Then the case come up. So, in the case, they already I mentioned, but let me read once more again. What is a bodhisattva's entry into the Dharma gate of non-duality? Manjushri said, according to what I think, in all things, no words, no speech, no demonstration, and no recognition. To leave behind all questions, answers. I think if you use a word, through the words, you have to explain the word of no words. In other words, if you make a poem, is very nice because through the poem is something explained simply, very simply, simple word. Nevertheless, through the words, the poem gives you certain hint what the word of no word. In other words, the word which you don't explain in a word is. So that is haiku, very simple. Okay. Old pond, a frog jumps into, pops. That is simple word. But behind the words, there is a word which is unexplainable in word. So you can feel very quiet, enormous vastness of the world existence. quietness of circumstances of mountains and old pond and flags and living freely around the mountains, around the pond. But pond is a present being, but the pond is old, so very naturally pond knows the past and present and future. So long story there. So very naturally, I think through this words, huge word comes up. So, and then this, the world, explained in a word, the word, not explained in a word, working together. Where is it? It is not poem. Right here. This is here and now, or true reality, we say. So, because this is something you can communicate directly, anywhere communicate. This is a place where you must be present there. This is a place where you can present peacefully, harmoniously. Then, all the pond, flowers, bushels, and all circumstances come together into this, the bushel's life. Okay. So, very naturally, that's why Manjushri says, no words, no speech. If you speak, you have to speak. But you have to know something. Something behind the speech. So even though you attain enlightenment through the speech, it is not real enlightenment. But still you have to have a great responsibility for doing something, because you have to know that something behind the speech, so called no speech. And then you next is, you cannot stay with a no speech, or you cannot stay with a speech. You have to stay constantly in the true reality where speech, no speech come together, working together. That is a what? This is actualization, present from moment to moment. At the single moment of your life. Okay? This is beyond conceptions, conceptualizations. So, no speech, no demonstrations, no demonstration. If I say, I demonstrate this, it's already something demonstrated by your consciousness, by your bodies. So you don't know that something true. Something true means something like something true life, which is constantly alive, which has no space, no crack. You can have word or concept, no germination of thought. That is real life, every day. Well, if you do, if you play the piano, if you play the guitar with wholeheartedness, you can exactly do it. Okay. Climb the mountains, and swimming, football game, and you can do it. But spiritual life is very vague and very vast, so it's very difficult to know it. But this is. Spiritual life is always talking about the basic of human life, how you can build up your life. Sports, and painting, and picture, photography, and whatever you do. speech, writing, and how do you make your writing mature? How do you make your painting mature? Standing where? Okay? Not dualistic world. You have to stand in constant non-dualistic world. Then you can make your career of pianist mature. Otherwise, there is no way to make your life mature. So, no demonstration, no recognitions. No demonstration, no recognition. You have to practice piano, piano, constantly. And then, your career is deepened, naturally. Your technique becomes deepens and your experience is deepened day by day. If you stand up, no demonstration, no recognitions. But we are always greedy. Try to let us to be recognized by anybody, and we want to know famous. Fame and rich in itself. Well, unconsciously, even though we say, I don't care fame, well, it's already fame. If you really don't care for fame, you cannot say fame or not fame. Your life is very calm, just wherever you may be, just going. So, Manjushri says, no words, no speech, no demonstration, no recognition, to leave behind all questions and answers. So, discussion, and from this point, we love discussions. Okay. Of course it is, I don't ignore, but I think through the discussion, through the conference between Christianity and Buddhist, I don't know, it is just a way to know real religion, real spirit. But we cannot ignore, so we have to deal with the conference of the Buddhist and the Christians. But through this conference of Buddhist and the Christians and how much you can get something true? I don't know. That's questionable. So finally, what you want to, finally, you can reach a certain destination, a certain day, or to say, end of the rope. That is a sound, naturally. From the silence, you can see the dualistic world, conference, discussions, as a beautiful flower blooming in the Buddhist land, non-duality. Then you should accept conference and discussions. But you cannot ignore, you cannot expect so much from discussions. You cannot expect something at the truth from a conference. So conference is conference. Just take care of conference. Just take care of discussions, finally. You can learn something. But something you have learned from the discussion is questionable. Don't you think so? But even though it is questionable, we cannot stop it. Because this is one of the flower blooming in the non-dualistic world. So we should take care of. Point is, how do you take care of conference and discussions and in terms of shallow understanding or deeper understanding or the deepest understanding? That's quite different. Okay? If you deal with the conference from a shallow understanding, you constantly argue. You have to constantly discuss in order to get the oneness between the Buddhist and the Christianity? No way. So you have to deal with the discussion from a deeper understanding. But a deeper understanding is still a dualistic world. So still argument there. So finally, you have to deal with the discussion and conference, human world, in terms of the deepest understanding. And then, just take care. And then you can see satisfaction or non-satisfaction. Lots of things coming up. And through the satisfaction, non-satisfaction, you can see the some hint. You can see the something. What is existent in the deepest of deepest state of existence? What is there? You can see it. So that is very silent. So that's why the Manakuri kept silent. But that silent is not the silent apart from noisiness and the hustle and bustle of our life. It is simultaneously great energy of universal life by which hustle and bustle of your life is supported. So through this noisy world, we have to know what is the basic of existence is. So, that's why finally, this is entrance, the Dharma gate of non-duality. Okay? Then Manjushri asked Vimala Kuri, we have each already spoken. We have each already spoken about non-duality. This is, we have already talked about Buddhism and Christianity or Judaism and Hinduism and the Tibetan Buddhism in the conference. Okay? We have already talked about it. Now, you are your turn. Next, your turn. What is it? After discussing in the conference, now your turn. What is real meaning of the Buddhism, real meaning of a human life, real meaning of American life? What is it? And then, now you should tell us, good man, what is a bodhisattva entry into the Dharma gate of non-duality? Sudo says, what did Vimala Kuri say? Silence is questions. Nothing to pin down. So what is that? Total activity, if your life is really like alive, vividly, without stopping at all, it is not something alive in concept, but it is just a question. What is it? If you really live with wholeheartedness, it is questions, because you cannot explain it. If you live as a sportsman, real right in the middle of playing game football, we cannot say anything. So what is your life? Nothing. So that's why he said, what did Vimala Kuri say? Silence. Silence means fully aliveness. Fully aliveness. At that time, what is your life? He also says completely exposed. He translated exposed. But literally, I think, I've completely seen through that is. Literally, okay? but he translated completely exposed. I don't know. But literally, I've completely seen through. So it's a little bit active, okay? But if you say completely exposed, something represented right in front of you, okay? Or whatever you say. So silence is something seen through. So from again and again, if you experience the discussion, okay, for 24 years, I have lots of opportunity to discuss about Buddhism with you. I always have something seen through, which is silent. You can experience it. But fortunately, unfortunately, you cannot be silent. You cannot stop discussing. So unfortunately, you have to constantly be discussing and attending a conference and reading scriptures and listening to Buddha's teaching again and again and be exhausted. Exhaustion takes you to silence, naturally, physically, mentally. And then, why don't you stop it? But we cannot stop it. We start again. And if you exhaust it, oh my goodness, we understand it. And then we come back again. Because we are afraid to stay with exhaustion, silence. We are scared. We are excited by altruistic world. So always we have to come back. Now we have to naturally come back, fortunately or unfortunately. And then return to the silence again and come back again. That's always we do. So, coming and going, coming and going. Finally, what you have to do is being present in peace and harmony where? Non-thinking. Non-thinking. This is non-duality. That is beyond thinking or not thinking. Conference or not conference, beyond conference or not conference, beyond discussion or not discussion. We repeat all this, discussion or not discussion. We repeat constantly. Finally, you should experience is what? Right now, right here. Which is not right now, right here, which is vastness of existence, which is silence, and simultaneous, which is active, very active. So called energy of universal life. Okay? That is called Buddha land, Buddha nature, we say. So, that's why that is completely questions. That is a question. In the Chinese traditional Zen uses immo what? Okay. So Zenji mentions about immo. Title of the chapter is immo what? How? What and how is basically you are free and you have a great capability to create your life. That is your basic nature of existence. What? How? Question mark. If you explain it, it is called non-thinking for non-duality, we can say. But that is a word. But practically, nothing to say. But nothing to say is not abstract. It is something alive, where? Here, now. We call at the single moment of thought, at the single moment of activity. Single moment of activity is, I mentioned Wednesday, Paripurna. Paripurna means the completion, okay? Perfections.